Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Somebody say amen when you have it. Are you still looking? Almost. I'm going to go ahead and start reading, but go ahead and put your finger there when you find it. And let's just stay in Philippians chapter 3. The Bible reads like this. I do not mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that which Christ Jesus first possessed me, to take hold of that which he first took hold of me. 13, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree at some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, we love you so much. And I pray that you would reveal yourself to us this morning, that every heart would be healed, that every mind would be open, that your love would just come in and do what you do, Father. We give this entire service to you. We give you all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the book of Philippians. It's a real short book. There's only four chapters. And it's titled like the book of joy. And what's heavy about this letter, it's actually the Apostle Paul's writing it from prison. And he is a man that's suffering for the gospel. He's locked up for the gospel. And he's there in prison encouraging the church. This was a church that he had established in his second missionary journey. It was the first people that were ministered to in Europe. So it's just interesting the current state where he was at. This church had begun to grow and thrive, and there were people that needed some encouragement to press on. How many need some encouragement to press on? How many ever deal with things that are just so weighty and so heavy that you want to crack and give up? Come on, I know I'm not the only one. I personally have been serving the Lord for 20 years. That gives him a lot of glory. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know much about church. I knew a little bit about religion, but I didn't know Jesus. I spent my entire teenage years locked up in juvenile. The only time I was sober is when I was there, and missionaries or chaplains would reach out to me and tell me about the gospel. I received Jesus, and there started the transformation. When I was 18 years old, I had already visited the Victory Outreach Church when I was about 17. See, I wanted a church that would accept me. When I learned about Jesus in juvenile, I realized that he loves, that there's no barriers, there's no racial barrier, that there's no boundary, that he loves. And I read this gospel, and I wanted to know this God. And you know, he's brought me through so much, but I just want to encourage you that no matter what past we have, no matter what we've been through, listen, God is going to take us on. He's going to give us the strength to press on. He's with you. Come on, somebody, tell your neighbor, press on. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul encourages me because this man, he wasn't raised in church either. He was a murderer. He was a man that persecuted Christians. It was his life's mission to persecute Christians. And then the Lord knocked him off his high horse, literally, right? There's an account in the book of Acts where he just said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then he responded, Lord. And at that moment, he knew it was Jesus that he was persecuting. Jesus changed his name from Saul to Paul. And from that moment on, there was a process, and he began to surrender his entire life to God. So here we go. We fast forward. And he has already started doing the work that God called him to do. He's establishing works. He's establishing the church. And now he's encouraging the church from prison. Come on, he's writing the letter called the Book of Joy, telling them to press on, to forget what's behind and to press on. That's a good word. He's saying that he's looking not at his past achievements. He's saying, I'm not just trying to be settled at where I'm at, but I'm pressing on. I'm pushing forward. And sometimes it's easy to get to a place where we just settle. Have you ever been at a place where you're just settling? Maybe things are good, maybe not so good, but you just choose to settle. Well, I love to look at the example of Paul to press on in the midst of ugly circumstances. Have you ever felt ugly circumstances? He's imprisoned. It's beyond his control. That's where he's at. See, today I want to talk to us about growth. The Bible says that, you know, God has called us to strive. It's to obtain and to attain or to achieve something, to put great efforts toward achieving something. Growth is a development or improvement toward the goal called maturity. See, what happens is time passes, we should develop the qualities or develop the abilities that the Bible characterizes the mature. Growing in grace, growing in faith, abounding in love. Come on, somebody. Say abounding in love. See, he doesn't just save us to save us. God has a plan for our lives. Why is it so important to continue growing? Because as an individual grows, a family grows. As an individual grows, a ministry grows. As an individual grows and matures, a church grows. And that's our heart's desire, is that individually we take the responsibility and grow. Many problems result when we fail to grow. When we're not growing, we're usually drifting. And you know, when you're drifting, you never really end up in a good place. Have you ever tried to eat healthy? And you're like, I'm doing it. Yeah. You don't just snap out of it one day when you've been on a mission to eat healthy and realize you're eating a vegetable tray, right? Celery sticks. I think that's a great, you know, illustration, because we don't drift into good places usually. We usually drift into places that are uncomfortable, and we're like, it's usually never a better place. Did you know that growth doesn't stop after high school? How many of us, we went from kindergarten through the elementaries into the high, right? We went through this process, and then some of us just stopped growing. If we even finish high school, or you know that growth doesn't stop after college? You know, we should be lifelong learners, because God has given us a brilliant mind. He wants us to grow, not get settled in our stuck, old, stale ways. Hello. Hello. I want to encourage us today to take it personal. This isn't for your neighbor. This is for me. This is for us, so that we can be a people that grow, that grow. The Bible gives us many keys to maturity. There's a difference, though, that I want to bring out. There's a difference between spirituality and spiritual maturity. You see, spirituality is our spiritual life. This comes with salvation and the choice to follow Jesus. Our spiritual life requires a commitment to obedience. Commitment is dedication. It's devotion. Disobedience breaks the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we receive Jesus in our heart, a spiritual transformation happens. In the spiritual, in the natural, you may feel warm. You may begin to break and have tears. But in the supernatural, chains are falling off. Bondage of, you know, is falling off. The darkness is lifted. That's what's happening in the supernatural. And the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, begins to work in our lives and begins to fill our soul. But when we're disobedient, we break the Holy Spirit's control in our life. There's two things that will break his control in our lives. Grieving the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, that you would be saved on the day of redemption. This is breaking a specific or known command in Scripture. He also says we break his hold when we quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. This is when we fail to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He never leads us to do contrary to the Word. So you can trust the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:9 says this, but we must confess our sins to him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. We have to confess those things and turn away from those secret things done in darkness. And we just have to know that we're able to forget the past and press on toward the future. Like the Apostle Paul said, see, we might have a hard time forgetting and even forgiving, but we have to confess our sins, let it go. You know, the past never has anything new to say. Let it go. Let it go already. I bring this up because our spirituality, our spiritual life is extremely important, because how we build and what we build will be judged. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, for all of us must stand before Christ. When he says who is guilty and who's not guilty, each one will receive pay for what he has done. He will be paid for the good or the bad done while he lived in this body. See, it affects our life today and in eternity. Spirituality, our spiritual life, deals with our health. But spiritual maturity deals with our growth. I want us to be a people that don't settle with, I'm saved, and that's enough. Pursue God so that his reflection is seen in us, so that we can win other souls. Some of us, like me, it burns inside of me. It's passion. The enemy and trials of life tries to put it out, but I can't. He brought me too far. He's done too much in my life for me to not want to see souls saved. You know, there's many marks of maturity in the Bible, but I just want to bring up 4 today. Are you with me? Some of the marks of spiritual maturity I want to look at, number one, first is humility. Humility, the Bible says in the book of Philippians 2, in reference to Jesus, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, it's been said in life, humility is not a handicap. Arrogance is not a strength. It's been said being humble means recognizing that we're not on this earth to see how important we can become, but to see how much difference we can make in the lives of others. It's also been said that the proud man can learn humility, but he will be proud of it. You see, the opposite of humility is pride. Pride has a lot of consequences. You ever been pride before? Raise your hand. You're lying, because we've all. Oh my gosh, we take pride in everything. But look, prideful people are isolated. Prideful people are disillusioned. And prideful people lack breakthrough. Come on now. We get isolated because we're know-it-alls. Nobody wants to kick it with the know-it-alls. We don't want to be with the know-it-alls, right? And then we're disillusioned because we trust so much in the wrong things. We trust in our money. We trust in our minds. We trust in all kinds of things. But at the end of it all, your body will fail you. Your mind will fail you. And your finances will fail you. And then we lack breakthrough because pride prevents growth. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been stuck? Come on. I want to encourage some of us. You ever feel like you just need to get a spiritual breakthrough? Remember, we're first looking at our spiritual life. It needs to be healthy so we could have spiritual growth. Listen, today is our day to just be free, to just receive the freedom in Christ. Sometimes we think that, you know, there's just so much holding us back and holding us down because of how we think and how we feel. But if we could see supernaturally from God's perspective, it's not that heavy, those things that weigh us down. If we would just rise up and not allow the darkness to hold us down. I'm not speaking some light message from some church kid that never experienced anything. And God bless all the church kids. I want my kids to be raised in church and never have to deal with the nastiness of this world. But I've been through many, many, many things, ugly things. And I know the power of my God. I won't glorify my war story, but I know the power of my God. And he has set me free. Look, not only physically, but mentally. How many of us Christians come to church and mentally, in our minds, we battle? There's bondage. There's no need for that. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to encourage us today. How do we be free? Listen, humility. Humility. The Bible says that he opposes the proud. God opposes me when I'm proud. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. See, Humility is in ethics, freedom from pride and arrogance. It's humbleness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth. In theology, humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, and submission to his divine will. You know, humility is not a weak spot. Humility is a powerful spot. There's a lot of power in humility. You know, we don't have to defend ourselves when we're able to stay humble. We're able to be comfortable with who we are and even put others first. It says, do nothing, the Bible says in Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Say, ouch, or oh my, because that one, that's kind of like, for us as people, we see ourselves up here. My opinion matters. I got to have the last word, right? We sometimes can't put others above ourselves, but that's the scriptures. And I want to encourage us in our church, because not only in our church, but in our families, ministry flows from the household. And I want to encourage us at home to be cautious to and intentional to serve and to put others in front of ourselves. You know, really take the Bible home, literally, not just a snack on Sunday, because that's where the real freedom comes from. Being able to say, you know, things ain't straight, but I'm still going to respond in a godly manner. You know, I'm still going to humble my heart and just allow God to be my defense, my rear guard. Amen. When we're humble, we're able to be grateful. When we're humble, we're able to walk in God's grace, in his love, and in forgiveness. Jesus says, I am gentle and humble in heart. We have an ability to respond and to learn from criticism without becoming defensive, whether it's deserved or undeserved. Humility changes people, and it changes the people watching us. It changes the people watching us, because if we always rise up ready to handle it, that's not the example that we want to set, or is it? I want my children to know God, not because my husband preaches on Sundays, but because they watch my life at home. I want them to know God from that experience. I want them to know his power, not because, you know, they'll never know his power if they always see mom intervening. Hold up, what you know, making a way for them and always manipulating and always making sure that my kids, I want my kids to know that they can pray and take things to God. I want them to know that not everything can be fixed by mom and dad. I want them to know that they can call on their heavenly Father and that he is faithful. He is faithful, that he's all powerful. That way when they're tempted in the future, because temptation comes, but the Bible says we are always given a way out. That's the word. That my kids will say, not so, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. The spiritual transference in our family is real. I care about the family unit more than building a church, because healthy families make healthy churches. And if I have all this bitterness and I really don't even want to be in my family, or I really, if I have all these things in my heart and I'd rather leave, or I'd rather not even deal with it, if that's what's really going on, guess what my kids are going to inherit, for lack of better words. Does that make sense? Nobody's perfect. Let me say this. Nobody's perfect. We all start somewhere. We all start at the cross of Jesus. We all say, I am a sinner saved by grace. Forgive me, Lord, and come into my heart. Make yourself real to me. And then from that moment on, we begin the process of sanctification, the process of change. It's a process. I am still going through my process, and I will be until I go to heaven. I am not above making mistakes or fumbling. Come on, somebody. So don't try to be a perfect parent. Don't try to be a perfect Christian, because there are none. Just be intentional to follow the word of God and allow your heart to be soft and consider that our life, like I said, the scriptures, Second Corinthians, that what we build here on earth, will be tried, because it's not just about today, but it's about eternity. And let that be an encouragement, not some weight. Don't let it be a weight to you. Moving forward, second, I want to look at The second spiritual or spiritual maturity, a key to growth, is growing in love and in regards to the way we treat people. Growing in love in regards to the way we treat people. You know, sometimes we can treat people great. You know, you have to be respectful to your boss and your manager and, you know, your parents. You know, nowadays people don't even respect their parents, right? There's not a lot of respect and, you know, but we have to grow in love. The Bible says, love one another just as I have loved you, John 13. You know, some of us haven't seen good examples. We watch our parents fight if we were even raised in our parents' home. We've seen chaos. We haven't seen good examples of love. We haven't, you know, maybe we have. Nonetheless, the Word of God says, love one another as I have loved you. We have to apply our hearts to learn, what does that mean? What does it mean to love as Jesus loves? It's not sloppy. You know, like sometimes I care, and you know, and I could care less for you. I mean, the human heart is so evil. There's so much evil in my heart and in yours. The Bible says that the mind of God searches the land and looking at the hearts and looking for those who honor him in their hearts. And, you know, it's so few and far in between because there's so much sin inside of our hearts. Knowing that, we need the Word of God and the love of God to come in and begin to heal and to cleanse and to change us, because the Bible says that our hearts direct our steps. Our hearts direct the course of our lives. And when you think about that, it makes us hopefully not want to continue to lean on our own understanding. You know, my way, mom's way is the best way, or, you know, the way we can be. No, his way. Jesus says, love one another just as I have loved you. So the Bible tells us, but grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, the more we grow, the more we mature, the more acceptance we have. Do you know what patience is in a marriage? I'm just going to go there, right? Patience, period. It's the ability to suppress restlessness and irritation. How many have somebody at home that just rubs you wrong? I know it's not just two of us. Patience. Listen, we have to bear with one another. Home is where ministry starts. It's where it starts. It's where it starts. And it's beautiful. And don't think because your household situation might be all tore up that what could God do with you, you know, or how could God do anything with me? That's not the case. We have to begin to give it over to the Lord and trust. If he could do it in me, we don't have enough time for me to tell you the stories of just my personal experience or for me to pass the mic around. How many of you have made it through some things? But if he can do it in us, in others, he can do it in your family. Our God's faithful, but we have to grow. The Bible says, we'll grow in grace, right? We're going to grow in grace. We have to learn to seek to understand, not be understood. We begin to love more and judge less. We become peacemakers, not troublemakers, right? We're ready to forgive, not quick to hold a grudge. And some of us, we need to stop it with our hard looks. For real, we need to stop it with our hard looks. You know, you just give that look, and you know, maybe you don't do it at home, or the kids probably know when mom's mad. But, you know, just in general, we don't walk in love. Like, Christians all, like, yuck face. That's just me. That's just how I am. That's just, you know, that's just me. Well, I'm thinking. The funny thing about that is when I was in ministry, maybe about 5 or 6 years, one of the girls I did youth ministry, she was like, Jess, you're not approachable. And she said, it was my sister. And she was like, you look mean. Now, and you know what? Honestly, because I was wanting to be a leader and be an example to these girls, I took that personal. It was just, it's true. I had a lot of negative thoughts. I always was thinking revenge. And yes, I was a Christian. Yes, I was. God was changing me. So I just want to be transparent and share with you that, look, some of those things, you know, we've all gone through. We're all going to deal with. But we want to learn to walk in love. Start reflecting his image. Moving right along. Number three. We have to learn. One key is an ability to handle stress. An ability to handle stress. Stress, they say, can make you or break you, right? We have everyday stress. You know, if you're a parent, you have the kids, you've got to get them up for school, you've got to, you know, do this and that. If you have pets, if you have siblings, I mean, any responsibility in the day can just stress us out. You got to get to work, can't find your keys, you're late, there's too much traffic, right? The list goes on. Talking about it, you get stressed out. Stress, the ability to handle everyday stress. You know, sometimes there's huge uncontrollable circumstances. This week, I'm just going to share really fast. I was so stressed out. I told a few people. When we got home from church last week, there was a flood in our house, and everything was all wet, and it was fine for the first couple days, but it was weighing on me. It was stressful. All these people in my house, all these machines, and my husband, it just mounted and mounted and mounted. I'm still working. I have my children. So with all of that, I was really able to use this word and get me through. See, stress, we get to choose our response to life. We can't always fold. We can't always withdraw. We can't always lose self-control when we get stressed out. Stress can make people so frustrated, make us impatient, and make us bossy. Ugh. Bossy is not cute. Bossy is not cute, woman, sister, brother. It's ugly. But stress does so many things to us. There's byproducts of stress. It causes sickness and headaches and sleeplessness and muscle tension. You ever experienced that from some stress? I have. The Bible says in John chapter 14, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. With stress and difficult situations, remember, if God be for us, who could be against us? And listen, hide in him, because when we're stressed out, we got to do. And then we get to the point where we can't even move. That's how I felt. You can't even move. There's too much to do. Listen, just hide in him. Hide in him. Pressure also has its positive effects. Did you know that stress and pressure can be productive and that it's also purifying? Scripture says this, John 15:2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it would be even more fruitful. It can be productive. And then Job 23:10 says, but he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I will come out as gold. It's purifying. We cannot grow without a personal encounter with difficulties. That encouraged me this week. I hope it encourages us as a body. Look, things are going to come. Christianity doesn't make us, you know, somehow sheltered from life. Life is, but God is greater. God is greater. Sometimes we need to remind our spouses, God is greater. We don't need to fight over this. This is petty. Come on. We need to remind ourselves when we're getting into little strifes with our brother or sister. This is petty. We can get through. I don't even have the answers, but let's just stop, because God can get us through. And lastly, we have to strive to obtain a good understanding of Scripture and doctrine. This is not least important. This is most important. Over time, being taught Scriptures, we grow an understanding of who God is and what he's really saying. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is like a double-edged sword, that it severs between the attitudes, and it talks about the marrow and the beliefs. It severs through all that emotion. The word of God goes straight through. 1 Peter says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. You know, comprehending Scripture doesn't just come overnight. And I remember when I first got saved, I wanted to understand. So I'd hear the preacher, and then I wanted to go home and read and understand a little bit more. And, you know, I want to encourage us. We have to know not only what the Bible says, but what it doesn't say. Because people follow some weird teachings. You know, people can come knock on your door and try to preach at you, or you can hear some random YouTube video and like, yeah, that agrees with how I feel. We got to know the Word of God. And I want to encourage us, church, listen, it doesn't hurt to take a Bible class. That's not the only avenue, but why not? Why can't you take a Bible course? Some of them are even free. You know, get some advice if it's a trusted, you know, institution. But learn what the Bible really does say, because it's that word that gets us through. There were times I couldn't even move because of pain, because of sorrow. But the Word of God just gave me nourishment. The Word of God gave me the ability to just breathe. You ever been there? The Word of God is powerful. It's the most powerful weapon that we have as a Christian. We want to get to a place where we can comprehend, understand the nature of the meaning, to perceive, to take in, or to embrace. We have to learn to make decisions based on the Word and not our emotions. So please, church, please don't just use Sunday and Wednesday as an opportunity to learn the Word. It's not enough. It's our daily bread. Don't starve on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, barely making it on Sunday. Listen, read it for yourself. Get around somebody who's spirit-filled to encourage your life. It's hard to be spiritually, you know, to really feel the victory when we don't open our Word. I know what it is to be, for it to have been a while without even opening it. You know, I know what it feels like to, when it's been a while since I've prayed. I know what that feels like. It feels like defeat. And we're not of those who shrink back. I'm not a coward Christian. I can't be. See, the Lord took this fool when I was out in the world, just running amok is the nicest way to put it. And he saved me, and I'm going to do all that I can for him. I'm not a sissy Christian. I heard somebody else say that, but it's true. Don't become a Christian and get soft. Don't become a Christian and just live in defeat. Well, I got a reason to be like this. I got a reason to be mad. I this and that. Stop it. No, we don't have a reason. We are victorious. We may not have it all together, but we have power. We have power. Encourage your sister. Tell somebody, we got power. There's no reason for us to live in defeat. Now, we might not know how to get out, but I'm telling you, cling to this Word. So who is in your inner circle? Who's in your inner circle? People who speak darkness and could care less about your issues for real. Like, they'll let you go on and on and on, but like, anyway, so who's in your inner circle? Do you have some spirit-filled people in your inner circle? We need people that will tell us the truth. We will never grow if all we want to hear is what agrees with my flesh. All I want to hear is what feels good. I will never become the person God wants me to be. Growth is hard. But nowhere in life did God create us to ever really just stop being people that work hard. You know, we can't just pause and, you know, at 25 obtain it all and just, you know, ride that till we go into heaven. We got to grow. We have to work hard, and it takes some work to humble ourselves and say, hey, brother, could you help me get into the Word? I just want to know it a little better. To say, hey, pastor, do you have some time? Could you shoot me some scriptures? Or, hey, sister so-and-so, doesn't it take a little bit of effort? It takes a little bit of effort to put some of our agenda aside so that we can get into this Word. But it's the living Word, and it'll encourage you and give you such wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom comes from that Word of God. And all of a sudden you're saying things and it's all Him. And you're bringing life and you're bringing hope and you're encouraging people. I want to encourage us to be a people that never stop growing. Strive to obtain a good understanding of the Word of God. You see, we have to take responsibility to grow and to change. Part of our responsibility in life is to teach, to walk in love, to rebuke sin, and to do God's work. Now, let me clarify, because some of us are really young in spiritual matters. To rebuke sin does not mean checking everyone else's stuff. It means examining our heart in the presence of God and letting Him rid us of our stuff. Stop calling each other out. When we're young in the Lord, we think it's okay. We just call each other out and no love in that. Rebuking sin is like, son, if you keep touching this, you're gonna die. That's rebuking sin. If you continue, it's like a rebuke. You speak it because I love you too much to let you go this way. They may not listen, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Versus, did you see? You know what so-and-so? Oh, you didn't hear? That is so petty. That's not what God's called you and I to. There's freedom in serving God. There's freedom in being His vessel. And as we all stand, let's not fail to take responsibility. And as we close our eyes, I just want to leave us with a few words. If we fail to take responsibility to grow and change, then we can be a stumbling block rather than being a testimony or being an example. The stumbling block can be our lack of convictions, our attitude, and our lack of godliness.